Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our talking text line, Bob Condotta, who covers the Seattle Seahawks for the Seattle Times. Bob, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Sure. Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. Bob, this game would be, I think, looked at a little bit closer if Russell Wilson was playing in here in this football game. We had one of the top handicappers say, you know, when they put that board up, Russell Wilson is worth 6.5 points, the difference when you set it up. And that is unbelievable what he's done for this football team, kind of putting it on his back. When you look at the fact that defense isn't as good anymore for Seattle, they got a bit of a running game going. Hopefully that won't continue against the Saints because they've been pretty good against the run. But, man, the impact of Russell Wilson in Seattle has just been unbelievable.
For sure, yeah. You know, he made 149 straight starts until he had to miss the one against Pittsburgh. You know, he's basically the winningest quarterback in, you know, NFL history through 7, 8, 9 seasons of a career, and second year wins the Super Bowl here. So no doubt about it. I mean, that's, you know, that's why quarterbacks like Russell make 35, 40 million a year. You hope that they're a lot better than the backup. Otherwise, you're not paying them. You know, that's why you're paying them to do that. So it's no secret that, you know, the elite quarterbacks are better than the backups. And, you know, Seattle, though, is lucky. Geno Smith is at least a guy who's played a lot. And hasn't played a lot recently, but, you know, did play a lot early in his career, has been on the big stage quite a bit. So, you know, they were able to do some things, especially the second half of that Pittsburgh game last week offensively, where I think they felt like they found some answers of how they can be a successful team with Geno as the quarterback.
They ran the ball.
Yeah.
Really ran the ball well.
Yeah, they did for a quarter anyway,
yeah.
For sure. And that was, yeah, they had a terrible offensive quarter in the second quarter. They ran 10 plays, all dropbacks, and I think had a combined 9 yards because of some sacks that were in there. And in the third quarter when they got the ball, it was obvious they made a concerted effort to run it. I think they ran it on 8 of their first 9 plays in the third quarter and drove down the field, or 9 of the first 10, actually, and drove down the field for a touchdown. And they were able to keep that going a little bit through the rest of the quarter as well. And then, you know, Geno did throw pretty well in the second half. He was 15 to 18 for about 140 yards or so in the one touchdown in the second half as well. So it did, you know, the offense was a lot better. They were able to, you know, they weren't doing a lot of real deep down the field throwing, which is what Russell Wilson is really good at. You know, it was much more of a kind of take what the defense has given you kind of thing, but that may be how they have to play while Russell was out.
Bob, I look at the Saints and Seahawks, I don't know if you say rivalry, but teams have been relevant, especially with Sean Payton at the helm with the Saints, and you look at Pete Carroll. You know, when I look at the Seahawks and, you know, Saints fans, the Houdat Nation, we got humbled, beast mode, you know, Marshawn Lynch, and we all remember that, you know, considering they were 500, under 500, and you're in the postseason. So there's a lot of connections there. Then I look at, I want to say, you probably remember this because I know you were, I think we probably had you on. I know it was prime time, whether Sunday night or Monday night football, and Seattle spanked the Saints. I want to say they scored over 40 points. And, you know, it doesn't matter who was playing quarterback. But then I look at the last time we went to Seattle. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's playing quarterback. Deontay Harris takes a punt to the house. Scoop and score. So the Saints are, Seahawks fans are not involved in the game. So to me, I guess I was somewhat surprised because I respect the Seahawks and playing at home. When you look at the 5 point, 5.5 point spread, I mean, so what is your take on that? Because the one thing about on the Sean Payton and the Saints, it seems like they always have stability, even though it's like post Drew Brees. And I know the last time Alvin Kamara got off against Seattle. So how do Seahawks fans view like the Saints? I mean, because it's like two different countries. We're in the deep south, and then you got up in the northwest. I mean, both NFC teams. But what is the viewpoint when you talk to Seattle fans, Seahawks fans playing the Saints?
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now, I don't know if the Seahawks fans are really that worried about who the opponent is, because if this team is just in such uncharted water. The discussion is, how are we going to survive this season being already 2-4, and we don't have Russell Wilson at quarterback, and the defense is not playing very well, even though it did play a little better against Pittsburgh. I think it's one of those things right now where it's just they've got to win a game. It doesn't matter who it is Monday. It could be
right.
You know, Riverside High School or whatever. I mean, you know, if you call the 2-5 and the Rams and the Cardinals are each huge, huge favorites at home against the teams that they are, and if you fall to 5 games back of the division, you can completely kiss off the division. And you know, at 2-5, even getting back to 500 and getting in the wild card race is going to be hard. So it's really that. That's what the discussion in Seattle is right now. So you know, no offense to the Saints, I'm sure you want to hear me say they really think a lot about the Saints.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie and say that anybody's talking that much about the Saints. It's more
they were worried about their team.
Bob, they paid a high price for a guy that played his college football here, in Jamal Adams, and he's had some injuries. That was a lot to give up for a safety, though. I mean, that was a high price. Who really is sort of a kind of hybrid linebacker safety? Your thoughts on Jamal's play so far in Seattle? I know that's something Pete's always liked, to have that kind of playmaker at the safety position. But that was a real expensive price tag to get
him. He's been good, but he hasn't been great. Yeah. How about you catch the ball and hit your hands the interception? I know Bob, Seahawks fans brought that up.
For sure, yeah. Last year he's been healthy this year, so injuries haven't been an issue this year. But last year they were. He was only able to play 12 games, but they used him a lot in a blitz package last year, and he got the 9.5 sacks, and he was making some big plays. And you know, I think that's what people got excited about him when they did finally get to the contract deal with him done in training camp. You know, that's what people were expecting, was a lot more of that. They haven't done that much with him, as much blitzing at all with him this year. And so it's sort of, that's what sort of really struck some people as odd, is like, you know, that was the thing he was really effective at last year. But I think he's only come on blitzes, I think 28 times in the 6 games they've had, and he doesn't have a sack yet. And he, you know, last week he sort of got close to one at one time, but you know, it just doesn't seem like that part of it has come together as well. And you're right, he's not really a traditional safety. You know, he's not, obviously, you know, everybody here is spoiled because they had 7 years of one of the greatest safety duos ever with Earl Thomas.
Earl, yeah, he was great.
And he's not really, you know, Jamal's obviously not really a free safety like Earl, who just, you know, had incredible anticipation and lateral quickness and speed and stuff like that. And then Cam was just, you know, a huge guy who was an intimidating force, and you know, you didn't want to come across the middle on him. And Jamal's sort of a hybrid of maybe both those guys. And so I think the Seahawks are still taking their time, or still needing some time to figure out how best to use Jamal, because, you know, it was so easy for them for 7 years with Earl. Was obviously, you just put him a free safety, Cam, you put a strong safety. You know, you rarely had to move those guys at all. But with Jamal, it's sort of, you know, he's sort of a guy that you do want to move around and play him some, essentially as a linebacker. And, you know, they did that. They introduced a package last week where they basically had 7 defensive backs on the field, effectively making Jamal a linebacker by bringing in, you know, an extra safety who sort of played Jamal's safety spot. And they only did it for a few plays, and so I don't know how effective they thought it was, but it was a sign that they are still trying to kind of experiment a little bit to get Jamal in what they think will be the best spots for him.
Now, Bob, obviously you're covering the NFL, NFC, the whole NFL picture, and you look at the NFC West, because at one time I know the NFC South, top to bottom, when I look where the Saints were at, where Atlanta and then even Tampa Bay and Carolina, you see maybe the toughest division. But you look at the NFC West right now, I mean, you have to be surprised with the Cardinals. Being the only undefeated NFL team, to me, I thought the 49ers obviously would bounce back, considering all the injuries they had in the COVID season. Then you look where the Rams are at and then the Seahawks. So I think around the nation, we all put the Cardinals fourth. But obviously that's not the case today, considering they're undefeated.
For sure. And I think you got to start just taking the Cardinals seriously. I mean, they've had to have some of the wins they've had. You know, they went, I mean, week one, they go into Tennessee and blow them out. Then you see Tennessee, you know, a couple nights ago beat Buffalo at home. And, you know, we saw the Tennessee come into Seattle and win. You know, you see the Cardinals go to L.A. and just blow them out. And L.A., that's the only game L.A.'s lost. You know, L.A. came here 2 weeks ago and won and goes to New York and makes the Giants look like a high school team. And, you know, so and then Arizona goes to Cleveland and basically blows them out. So at some point, yeah, I mean, you got to start taking a team seriously, you know, when you get to that point. And like I say, they host Houston this week and they're about an 18-point favorite. So they're probably going to get to 7-0. And, you know, yeah, for sure. I don't know that they're going to go away anytime soon. And then the Rams have, you know, other than the time they played Arizona, have looked like world beaters as well. Right. And then, you know, with the 49ers, obviously the quarterback situation just keeps being an issue for them. And, you know, that was the game Seattle was able to win down there when Garoppolo had to leave the game at halftime. And,
right,
you know, the 49ers had really run up and down the field a lot in the first half of that game. But Garoppolo threw a couple of bad passes and the Seahawks were in. They missed a field goal and things like that. And the Seahawks were able to stay in it. And then were able to win that game in the second half when Trey Lance had to play for the first time in his career, basically. So, you know, I still think the 49ers, they are a really talented team and a dangerous team, and I think they're going to win some games. So, but, yeah, we all thought this would be this, you know, sort of maybe four, you know, incredible four-team race. But, you know, at the moment, you've really got to look at the Cardinals and the Rams as the class of the division for sure.
Now, you know, Bob, before Mike's going to ask you another question, I mean, as a player – and I play with the Dome Patrol. All I know is when your defense is kicking ass, the home field rocks, the noise level. Now, when you score an offensive touchdown, they're cheering and they get excited. But I look at that playing in Seattle, because I played in the King Dome, but you look now an outdoor stadium and still how loud it is. But to me, if you truly want to have a home field advantage in Seattle, not if Russell Wilson is doing awesome, but the best defense, since, you know, Legion of Boom, 2017, that's when it was so loud you couldn't even hear yourself think. I mean, that's when, to me, the Seahawks were rolling when your defense was so dominant.
For sure, yeah. And, I mean, last year was such a weird year, obviously, with no fans there. And, you know, they were pretty dominant at home. I think they were 7-1 at home last year, so they sort of kept that going. But yeah, they've lost, you know, a couple of home games already this year, both you know, both sort of tight games that went down to the wire. And obviously, you know, the Rams game, when Russell Wilson gets hurt, you know, the first time in 10 years we've seen someone else there, you sort of put an asterisk by that. It's hard to draw a lot of conclusions there. But yeah, the Seahawks have not been quite as dominant at home the last couple of years. But you know, I think the easy answer is I don't know that they've been as good.
Right.
You know, you lose all the players they did off that defense that they had, and you know they haven't quite put it together quite the same way. So I don't know that teams coming in here are as intimidated by the Seahawks as they were, you know, for that 5 or 6 year stretch from 2012 to 2017 or 18 or so.
Right.
You know, so I think it's just sort of that as much as anything, but it's definitely something. You know, the Seahawks. The one thing they can point to, obviously it's a really disappointing start, but they played four of their first six on the road. And so they are home for, you know, three of their next four here. And the next two, if they can beat the Saints, you know, then they host Jacksonville after that. So, you know, if they can get the win Monday, you know, I think they feel like they get to 4-4 before they're bye. And given everything, you know, you'd still be in the playoff race and all of that. So that's why, you know, a lot of people here are sort of looking at this game against the Saints as maybe the most important of the year right now. Because if you fall to 2-5, and then even if you beat Jacksonville, you got to go play Green Bay and Arizona after that. It could slip away fast. So if you can beat the Saints, get to 4-4, going into their bye, and then going into the couple of November games they have.
Yeah,
you got a chance.
And you know, Bob, why it's so important, way more important than the Jacksonville game, because the tiebreaker, it's an NFC opponent. What do you do head to head? We don't know what's going to transpire at the end, who's a wild card, who's in the postseason. That's why it's important to me for the Saints and Seattle, because of that tiebreaker when it's all said and done. And it won't come into fruition until, you know, the end of December and all that. But that's why this game is so meaningful. That's why when the Saints lost to the Giants. No, I'd rather beat the Giants and lose to the Patriots. Because you look at those tiebreakers, you know, in the NFC, AFC, I think a lot of times fans don't understand that.
For sure. And the Seahawks already have a tough one like that. They lost a game to Minnesota, which is a team that
right.
sort of, you know, looks like they're going to be right there. Probably not going to win their division and be right there in the wild card hunt. So, for sure. But I also just look at, I mean, the Seahawks already, they'd have to go 7-4 the rest of the way just to finish 9-8, which is probably the minimum to be in the wild card hunt. And there's
yep.
probably five games you look at their schedule right now and think they're going to be underdogs in, and including the New Orleans game, you know, Monday, in which they are. So, you know, it's just imperative that they start winning games, basically, if they really want to stay in this thing.
Bob, thanks so much for your time tonight. We really appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, you guys.
All right, thanks Bob.
So
love having you on.
Bob Condotta, who's the beat writer for the Seattle Seahawks for the Seattle Times. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.